Welcome to the show. I'm James.
I'm David.
I'm Riley.
And today we are discussing not a movie. We are discussing your questions, guys. It's a special episode.
We don't even like movies. Surprise.
Welcome back. It's the Mailbag Part 2. I'm Pickle Rick.
The whole show was a joke this whole time.
We'll laugh. We'll cry. We'll argue. We'll definitely get too into it. But at the end of the day, they're just pseudo movie related questions.
Spoiler alert? We might talk spoilers. We'll warn you.
We're going to tell you spoilers.
All right, David, what are you giving these questions out of 10 from all the, all the questions that were sent in? Rate them.
Solid 8 out of 10. There's some very good ones.
Yeah.
And then there's some good ones.
Couple stinkers, though, too. So
yeah.
Drags it down.
Yeah.
So we didn't include those here.
It's like Free Guy, though. They got better as they went along. So that really saves it. It's better than having a crappier ending.
Yep. I did watch The Adam Project, so I have opinions.
Now, all that notwithstanding, this is still brought to you by Grove Maid, today's sole sponsor. Grove Maid creates next-level modern desk accessories for your home, office, and everyday carry. They strike a balance between minimalist design and function, and their products are made in the USA. USA! Build your dream workspace so you can get your best work done. They offer things like laptop and headphone stands and planters and pens and knives, all sorts of all sorts of sharp stuff. So upgrade your desk today. New customers can use the code TJM for 10% off. Ooh. A cool 10 at lmg.gg/Grove Maid, all one word. That's it, guys. Let's get right into it.
Let's do it. I just want to talk about myself.
Here's a fun one. What one thing would you take from a piece of cinema? So,
I was just saying, I don't have an answer for this.
Any object in any film in existence, a lightsaber, the One Ring, Wilson, the beach ball.
I'll give my instant answer to buy Riley time, and then I want to come back around to me. But the instant answer is definitely the replicator from Star Trek. So just
the replicator,
the ability to make food and drinks just by command.
I see what you're doing, but I think that's a little small time. I think the obvious answer is the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, okay,
equipped with all stones.
Fair.
Like that's. It's almost like a cop-out of how obvious
that
is.
It's like all powers, everything.
Yeah, I also think, relatedly...
No, but wait, it would kill you, because you're too weak.
I'm too weak.
Yeah, you're not strong enough to withstand it.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
So the obvious right answer is, then, the Green Lantern Ring. You guys...
are you worthy?
A couple of great... Of course. It's not about being worthy, it's about having the willpower.
Oh, because then you can be, like, yellow or red, right?
And I will
argue...
I will argue with this ring about whether I'm... willing to do things till I'm blue in the face.
Dude,
so.
You can't even do this podcast without coffee.
What?
There's
no coffee right now.
I can will myself to alertness.
I'll just have a headache the whole time.
There's no way I would take the One Ring. Screw that.
Yeah. Oh, you'll die.
Can you take like a giant spaceship, even though you can't like personally fly? Like, can you take the crew with it? That'd be kind of fun. Starfare.
It says one item.
It says one thing.
But
I mean,
our
spaceship
people,
is an item.
Are people items?
I mean, I commodify humans, so yes.
I mean, if you took the thing and they happen to be in it.
Yeah.
Like, Chewie, you were in there, didn't you? Sorry, buddy.
If your item is a ship full of people, that's an item.
That's right.
So,
yeah, your item could be like Earth 2 from, one of those comic book
universes. I don't think you get a ship full of people. I think that's cheating. That's like saying, I'll get the bag that's full of all these other items.
Yeah, or a genie.
A spaceship is fundamentally a bag.
Yeah. I want the lamp from Aladdin. Change my answer.
Oh, it's got a genie in it.
Yeah. Well, depending.
No, you need to have either the genie or the lamp. Choose wisely.
Genie.
They're a pack.
I don't know.
Free genie? Because doesn't he still have all his power and he just gets...
What if you get Jafar genie, though?
Uh-oh.
You got to be specific. Did you ever see that series of like B-horror movies called The Wishmaster?
No.
It's basically like a monkey paw thing where you make wishes and he makes like... bad versions of the wishes, so you have to be super, super specific in order to defeat him.
Monkey's Paw, the movie show. The movie show.
It was a series of movies.
Wow.
There's like at least three of them.
I didn't see it. And we have gone. That's perfect. I think we stretched that question as much as we could.
I would have taken the pack of Apple cigarettes from a Tarantino film. Right after Uma Thurman smoked him.
Oh.
I wanted to say lightsaber, but that was one of the examples that he gave, so then I'm kind of like, is that cheating?
Would you move, if you had a lightsaber... Would it be so cool that you would move to one of those states where you can like open carry? So you could just so you could be like
if I have the one lightsaber in the world.
Yeah, and people
and I'm walking around with it on my hip, like I'm just asking for people to come try and kill me. I don't have the force. It's just a lightsaber.
They don't know that. Hold your hand up to them.
No. I think it's too dangerous. I think you're more likely to kill yourself with a lightsaber than anybody else.
Someone just shoots you.
Yeah. Or just even holding it and you like kind of slip and it's just like...
Whoop. Because it's weightless, you could easily just like turn the wrong way and cut your own head off.
I don't know how much they actually care about it now, but it used to be in the lore that only Jedis could wield lightsabers. Only Force people had the like reflexes.
To even turn it on?
To even turn it on and not kill themselves accidentally. Because like they're waving it around themselves. It's like with a sword, you know, you can bang yourself and it's like, okay.
Didn't they kind of kill that in the new trilogy? Wasn't there like Ben?
Ben carries it.
Yeah, I think they didn't really. They don't care about that as much. Lightsabers have been nerfed in the new Star Wars. Anyways, we're already on Star Wars. Yeah, get out of here. Next question.
My favorite question is just Cangelicals.
Yeah, that was so.
I thought these were the questions we do at the end because it's just like, what do we say?
Have you guys, if you haven't seen the Cats episode, it's so a, good. You got to go back and do it.
My answer is absolutely.
The next one is a Mary F. Kill. Who would you marry? Who would you F? Who would you kill? And it's the Spider-Man. It's Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland.
This is so easy.
All right, mister.
Definitely kill Tobey. Sorry, Tobey.
Oh, he was on my F list.
Oh, really? No, I think...
Wait, but you have to specify at what point during... Because, like,
I think
the new movie kind of changed things. Also, did we say spoiler alert for No Way Home if you haven't seen it?
Okay, sure.
Sure.
Go.
Spoiler alert.
No, I mean, go with your answer.
I think you should be... the Spider-Verse movie. Not Spider-Verse, what's it called? No Way Home.
Yeah.
That's the Spider-Man we're choosing.
Oh, at the end of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so if you're saying which Tom Holland, is it from the first movie, second movie, or third movie,
no,
Tom
it's
Holland?
The third movie, Tom
You're
Holland,
establishing
right.
that.
Yeah, we're establishing that.
Okay.
I think
what's the difference there for you?
There's an arc. There are multiple arcs.
Like he's wiser now?
No, but also.
Maybe
Andrew
I want
Garfield
him younger.
Toby.
I want the younger Tom. Licorice pizza.
He's in high school.
I was gonna say marry Tom because he's probably got the most money. Fuck Andrew Garfield because he's probably the best time. And kill Toby because...
You would have an amazing first date with Garfield.
I think it would be awesome. That's why I struggled. At first I was like, okay, marry, fuck, kill. But I also kind of want to marry Andrew Garfield.
He would charm me.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a great husband.
I get sick of him. I'll take Tom Holland's English accent. You can listen to that your whole life.
Wait, sure. Tom Holland? Oh, we're talking about the actual actors?
Yeah.
What? I was thinking about you because you talked about the Spider-Man. I was like, this is interesting. I was thinking about who would marry, fuck, kill, like each of their Peter Parkers.
Yo, okay, yo, Toby's Peter Parker is just too depressed.
I don't want to answer that question for the actors.
Too mope.
Why? I don't even know who they are.
What?
Oh my god.
Okay.
I know who the Peter Parkers are.
Yeah, you
and
do
I don't
Peter
know.
Parker. Give us your Peter.
I actually
Parker
think you'll
answer.
Have the same answer.
I think I would like. That's why I wanted to know at the end because I would probably marry Andrew Garfield at the end of No Way Home.
Yeah.
And I'd probably kill
Once he's
Toby,
dealt with his trauma a bit.
Kill Tobey Maguire because he's just old. He's going to die soon anyways.
Later.
And then fuck Tom Holland, I guess.
Sure.
Right? That was marry, fuck, kill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I think I'd probably marry Tom Holland and I'd F Garfield.
You're shallow, man.
I think the Garfield, Tom Holland are interchangeable.
Yeah. One's younger.
Ah.
One's younger, hotter, and richer, and English. I'll take that, dude.
They're all very rich.
Yeah, they're doing fine.
Yeah, but then Zendaya's in the mix. Is she going to kill me?
Oh, interesting.
What?
Interesting.
They're like actually dating in real
life.
Oh,
yeah, they're dating, right?
Yeah, okay.
They're a cute couple.
Okay. Wait, there's another...
You just choose whatever question you want, Riley.
Let's go to the beginning. What's your hottest film takes? You guys didn't say it. You don't have any.
David has
a hot take on
anything.
Christopher Nolan is very overrated.
Oh!
That's my...
You know what? I don't think that's that hot. I think if you ask 10 people, probably 4 are going to say that.
I think that's fair. I think that's like an opinion that's been growing. And I think the growth in popularity of Denis Villeneuve has sort of showed people how like surface level Christopher Nolan movies are. And they're cool and they're awesome. But like most of his movies kind of are just like entertainment. They're like fluff.
Really?
I would say also on the same vein, Quentin Tarantino is overrated in his later stuff. I think his later stuff's just not that good.
I would completely agree for Quentin Tarantino, but I feel like Christopher Nolan does have depth, but for me the problem is that he thinks he's the shit, and so he like he just puts way too much stuff in his movie.
Fair enough.
It's like Tenet or Inception to a certain degree. I like Inception, but I think that all of his movies, Interstellar, they just want to throw all of this stuff at you. Yeah, they're extra. Which is funny because they also have a vibe of being restrained sometimes. Where it's like, we're not going to go all out and have these like crazy blockbuster visuals. You know, we're going to like,
in camera.
Yeah.
I don't know if these guys are overrated. I would say they're appropriately rated. If they're overrated, it's because the people who just like, you know, saber rattle and love them so much just don't watch enough movies.
That's fair. That's
like,
fair.
Yeah.
Because they both make excellent movies. I want to be clear.
Christopher Nolan's
both
awesome.
Great. Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve's awesome. Tarantino was awesome. But like also, so is Paul Thomas Anderson and. Like, there's just...
That's fair.
There's 20 other ones that are also awesome.
Yeah.
I guess I just, I am a Denis Villeneuve fanboy. So I'm like, I'm glad that he's getting his comeuppance. Fucking.
It's interesting.
He's just like, people are appreciating him as like the best.
Yeah.
Director.
No, I agree. But like, it's interesting that you compared them because it does seem like there's this like space in the industry for a sort of like more artistic or more deep thinking like blockbuster director. Mm-hmm. And I think that like Christopher Nolan and Denis Villeneuve both did these like kind of smaller, intimate films, and then they were recognized, and now they got put on these big franchises like Dune, and he did Batman, and that was his big franchise or whatever. But now they they occupy this space where it's like, okay, here's like sort of a deeper director that can do a big blockbuster, and I think that Denis is definitely supplanting Nolan as like the best guy to get for that.
People's right choice for sure.
Yeah, I was just gonna say my hottest takes is where'd it go?
Probably some Star Wars crap.
Apparently, my opinion that movies should have like a moral takeaway, because apparently that's like a recurring theme on this podcast where I'm like, this is a really good movie, but I don't like that it told the audience this essentially. And people are like, you shouldn't care about that.
You know
like,
what my hottest take is?
What's up?
This is, you know, it's a hot take when you actually just firmly believe it and you don't understand why people think it's a hot take.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's me, right?
I think a lot of people are on my side with this, but some people really like the movie Okja.
Mm-hmm.
That movie sucks. It fucking sucks. And actually, I don't like that director at all, except for Parasite. Parasite rules.
Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't really like Snowpiercer.
Bong Joon-ho!
That's what I like. There's to some think. Hoes in this house.
Okja was okay, but yeah, the end was rude.
Okja
was like, it was so heavy-handed.
I think the whole
yeah,
thing
it was pretty
brutal.
Messy, but I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it's an amazing movie. But.
No.
David, you pick one.
Oh. Well, let's do my own question. Writer David G writes in.
David G.
Professor G.
What would your drag name be and what kind of queen would you be?
Okay. I don't remember enough about like the different types of queen. I watched a lot of Drag Race. I think I watched like 6 or 7
I think
seasons.
Both of you have like seen them all. I haven't seen it ever.
Yeah.
So you really? Tell me. What
Lauren
these...
and I like to watch it, but I don't remember what the types of queens. I saw that you put this in there, and I was like, I'm not going to be able to think of one on the spot, so I went and like looked up a drag queen name generator.
What did it give you?
Gave me Miss Peaches Beaverhausen.
That's pretty good.
Miss Peaches Beaverhausen.
It's a little overwrought. The Miss puts it over the edge, I think.
Okay, Peaches Beaverhausen. There's some entendre there. Beaverhausen, I'm housing a beaver inside of me.
Miss Beavenhausen? Beaven? Beaver. Whatever. David, just go because you know you want to go.
What's your thing?
What's Miss Felicity Upper Bottom?
Upper Bottom.
It's good. What kind of queen would I be? I don't know. The one that thinks they're all that.
Oh, right. Because there's comedy queens, and then there's like glam queens.
Yeah, look queens.
And there's variety ones.
Yeah. But you can make up your own in this context.
Oh, there's fashion ones. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
Kimchi. Like Kimchi's about the fashion.
Sort of.
But she can't do anything else. Come on,
I saw
Kimchi.
Her live at a show recently, and I was sad because it was a lip-syncing show, and that's not her strength.
Yeah.
So I was like, you're not utilizing this incredible queen.
But her outfits, girl.
And her makeup, yeah.
I am so lost. But
my favorite thing about watching Drag Race is that it like allowed me to, it didn't allow me to, but now I feel comfortable appropriating that sort of vernacular a little bit. Honey. What's the tea?
It's the tea is great.
You're allowed.
The tea.
And it's funny coming from me.
Very, you'd be a comedy queen. There
very,
you go.
A very, very, very straight.
Thank you. That's so Sigma.
No homo. Yeah. Okay.
No.
So Sigma of you.
I do have a name for myself.
Mm?
It's one of those names where you think of you're in a totally different context and you say the words in your head and then you go, that could be a gamer tag or that could be X. You don't want to imagine this context, but here's my drag name. August Eggnog.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I actually like that. I feel like it's pretty unique.
It says something about the personality, too,
August
right?
Eggnog.
Kind of rotten.
I feel like you need, like, a middle name letter. Like, August C. Eggnog. But, like, something that, like, makes it dirtier.
D? Yeah,
August D.
August.
August de Eggnog.
August like, de Eggnog.
Like, it's French. Like, it has, like, a little apostrophe.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, here's a question about comedy films, and I thought that was sort of interesting. What are your thoughts on comedy films and how they've developed in the last 15 or so years? This is from Bellin336. He grew up watching stuff like basketball, bench warmers, and Napoleon Dynamite. These days, it's just Hot Tub Time Machine. I don't know what that means.
That's an old...
This is a last year question.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Is it? Do we?
The Hot Tub Time Machine is pretty old by this point as well. What are some of your favorite comedy films of recent years? And I thought this was interesting because I feel like there used to be a lot of like just full-on comedy films. Like, it's just a comedy and there's nothing else going on. But I feel like nowadays... Most of the time you get comedy like integrated into another type of movie. It's an action adventure with comedy. It's a mystery with comedy.
You only watch Marvel movies, don't you? They all have comedy.
This guy does?
You.
Or me? Yeah, I only watch Marvel movies.
Well, I think a big part of it is that like the people go to the theater less, so you need the event movie. So that killed comedy as a movie genre. I think TV shows just took over.
Right.
And I think also the fast consumption of media means that our taste in comedy is so like quickly changing.
Yeah.
Where a movie can't have its finger on the pulse the same way a TV show, the same way a fucking TikToker
can. Dude, memes.
Can.
Here's the thing, because before, like, what about the hype? Like, I don't watch trailers, right? So if I'm going to hear about a comedy, before it was people used to always quote shit all the time. Maybe like saying the Anchorman lines for months,
Yeah,
like
Austin Powers,
Dynamite or something. Yeah. And now that doesn't happen because people just watch memes.
Right.
Why would you quote a movie?
If a moment from a movie is funny, it might get turned into a meme. But, like, yeah, I remember, like, quoting with my friends, like, Monty Python on the Holy Grail things, like...
Or a whole comedy sketch, Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Remember that when
yeah,
he was hot?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and people would, like... And these, like, bits would, like, go around through the public consciousness, through, like, friend groups and stuff, but...
I was talking to a friend on the phone the other day, and he said something that it turned out was my opinion also, but I never really thought about it. He said... We were talking about going back to the movies, being in the theater versus watching at home, and he said comedies... I will basically only watch the movie theater because it's fun to like laugh with your friends and stuff like that.
Oh.
But I'm not going to like watch that at home.
By yourself.
No. And I thought, what? And then I thought about it. I'm like, that's my behavior. I don't think like when have I ever put a movie on at home? Like, oh, here's a new comedy. I'm going to check it out. I would only do that if I was like super hungover or like I'm also cooking at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, definitely cooking at the same time.
If I'm going to seriously watch a movie, it's almost never do I choose a comedy.
Yeah, comedies you have to watch with at least one other person and preferably more. I was going to say that there are like some standalone comedies that I've seen somewhat recently that I'm like, oh, this was like a comedy, but they often don't get a lot of hype. Like one of my favorite comedies of recent years is called Palm Springs. Got Andy Samberg. Yeah, you saw that?
I saw it.
It was great.
Yeah. But it's not like a comedy.
Is that a James Franco one?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, because like, is Groundhog Day a comedy?
Well, that's the thing is, I think...
Because this movie is essentially... It's essentially Groundhog Day. It's a Groundhog Day situation.
Millennial
he keeps waking
Groundhog
up
Day.
in the same day. And it's him and Kristen Milioti and J.K. Simmons. And it is like hilarious.
He's always just kidding.
He's never serious, except in Whiplash. It was a hilarious movie. It was so good. And it also had, but I think this is the other thing is that now we're expecting standalone comedies to have these sort of like dramatic moments and like character arcs and like.
They need to have a grace note, some heartstring.
They do,
pullage.
But like, so one thing that, one comedy that's sticking out of my mind that I saw with my friends sort of like in 2014-ish maybe is like Get Him to the Greek. Maybe that was way earlier. 2012?
Feels around then, yeah.
Get Him to the Greek. And that is just like, that's like, who is that? It's Russell Brand.
And Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. And it's just like, it's like a super bad style, like everything's going crazy and it's just funny all the time. And that one like has sort of like character moments, but it's not really like there's something deep here. It's just like, hey, at the end of the day, we learn that friendship is important or something. You know, it's just like basic.
Do you think it's an age thing? Because as a kid, some of my all-time favorites that I could recite back to front are comedies.
Mm.
Talking Road Trip, Wayne's World, Others.
I haven't seen any of those.
The last one is means many others.
Oh, okay.
it's tough. Like, I'm looking, and I can find good comedies. If you want to find the best comedies of the last 10 years, just look up Will Forte's IMDb and every movie he's in.
I love Will Forte.
Yeah, like Good Boys is pretty funny, but it's like it's a coming of age comedy. Like you need to have the like the compound word genre. You can't do it on its own. Extraordinary was good.
Yeah.
MacGruber, still good.
just in the last like few years, I wrote like Don't Look Up. That's a comedy. And but it's also got something else going
on. Dramedy.
Suicide Squad, I think, was like it's a superhero comedy.
Yeah.
Bo Burnham Inside is a comedy, but it's also like not
I also think
a dreadful comedy.
Borat 2 came out and that's like more of a straight up comedy.
Yeah. That was the last straight comedy.
But he also had like
satire.
A takeaway, and poignant satire. So it's like, I think that comedy, you could make an argument that it's better than ever because now you have comedy and then people also feel that it needs to have some substance to it, which I am all for.
Yeah.
Here's a kind of interesting one. Roy Briggs, American Pie relative, he's curious to know if any of us have rewatched any of the movies that we previously reviewed on this channel already. Mm. And that, like, what the rewatch was like after having podcasts about it. I don't think I have.
I've definitely done it at least for a couple. I'm going to go through.
You remember your feelings?
Always. They're right in the front of my body.
Riley, have you done that?
Do I have feelings? No.
No, like, have you done a rewatch? Like, or is it kind of ruined for you? I podcasted about it. I can't watch that anymore.
Yeah, I think that there's something about podcasting a movie and talking about it for an hour and a bit or whatever that makes me less inclined to put it back on.
Like, it's like drinking too much tequila your first time when you're like 16 or something. You're like, I can't drink that anymore. That one's done.
That's basically what happened to me.
I've watched Knives Out 2 times since we podcasted.
Two times.
I like that movie. I like showing it to people because it's like a good genre film, but it's got like some substance to it. And it's just, it's like such a fun movie.
Right.
But I think that's pretty similar to what my opinion
I've put was. Knives Out on again, but that was like a year after we did
it.
Yeah,
maybe it's just time because it's only been 2 years of podcast, and I don't usually do a rewatch within like about 3. You know what, though? I'm ready to watch The Joker again. And I think we should do a re-podcast.
That'd be interesting.
For those who don't know, The Joker was like episode 1 or 3 or something, and we never aired it because it was so bad.
Yeah.
But
I'm down.
Enough time has passed.
People seem to be asking for it consistently.
Yep. Yeah.
We could do it.
The second part of that question, though, does it make you change your score? No, it doesn't.
I don't know.
Whenever you don't know,
you haven't done it.
No, I have. I've done it, but like sometime after we did the movie. It's not like I'm like, we did the movie and then we did the podcast and then I'm like, oh man, I better watch it again to see. Because I don't.
Oh, no,
I don't,
no, 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 no. I don't think that's
like,
what this is asking.
It seems like it's a fairly normal thing for people to like watch a movie and then watch it again soon after.
Which one have you watched
and
since
I don't like
podcasting?
Doing that. Knives Out?
You did. Okay.
I forget what I gave it, but I didn't. I'm not changing my score.
You think it crystallizes your score?
I think this is tied into another question I feel like we're going to answer later about like the difference between, maybe we should just do that now. The difference between our process for like watching a movie for the podcast and just watching a movie for not the podcast. Who's that? We got to find that question.
Yo, when I went to Licorice Pizza, we weren't covering it, but my process was kind of the same still.
Hmm.
And my process is kind of, I try to look for the, like, some of the screenwritery kind of beats that people look for, kind of like the hero's journey or like save the cat kind of beats, like, especially opening image.
Yeah.
What's the first thing I'm being shown? What are the things that need changing about the protagonist? What are the rooting influences? Like the things I like about a protagonist? What am I supposed to see as a deficiency in them? What's the inciting action that kicks the story off? When are we into act two? What's the midpoint? What's the all is lost? What's the Hightower surprise at the end? I look for all those beats while watching, regardless of what I'm watching.
I find, for me, the big difference is how malleable I am. When I'm watching for the podcast, I'm bringing in all my criteria, and I'm bringing in like a structure that I don't need the movie to adhere to, but it will be compared against so that I have talking points. I have ideas to like for which I can base facts on my opinion, so I have like actual
need like supporting arguments.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking about supporting arguments, whereas when I'm just watching a movie for fun, I turn that part of my brain off, and I'm like I said, I'm much more malleable, and I let the movie kind of take me on its journey.
If we were doing this properly, if this was our only job, I would definitely watch a movie twice.
Yeah.
Because I've heard someone say before, and I believe this is true, the first watch is emotional, the second watch is intellectual.
Yeah.
Did you say that to me?
Yes.
Thank you.
See, so this is, we're basically answering a question from Ramona Early.
Thanks, Ramona.
That said, from listening for a while, it seems like you guys value all sorts of movies, but how do you fairly rate a movie that's funny or campy compared to a movie that's very serious and trying to be adult, as some might say?
Oh, that's slightly different.
Well, it's about what we value in movies, I think. And so, like, for me, you were saying that you value sort of, you're looking for all these, like, writer-y type stuff, and you're looking for all these, like, kind of industry, like, technical execution and stuff like that.
I'm paying attention to those things, but that's not. I'm not saying I'm looking for them. As in, this is what I seek to have in a movie. Because sometimes I'll see a movie and I'll be like, okay, the good thing about this movie was all the awesome practical effects and like the heart pounding pace. Like
I'm not trying to reduce your whole thing into one thing.
I'm very complex.
Trying to summarize. I mean, I think what I was going to say is for what I do is like it depends on what the movie's trying to be. Like, if it tells me that it's trying to be a certain thing, I'm going to, like, judge it based on that.
That's a great point.
Depends on how well it makes me forget that it's a movie. So if I'm like...
You bring this up a lot.
I do. I think that movies are about the experience, but they also, you know, they need to immerse you, you know?
Right.
And if
so
you're
if
not
you can...
immersed, then you're just watching, like, I don't know, someone, like, performing a bit in front of you.
If you can see someone's acting or...
Yeah.
Something breaks the lore.
Right. And then it also depends on, like, technical execution and stuff. But I think that that happens less to me where, like, I think there are movies where I'm like, wow, that's a really cool shot. How did they do that shot? But I don't want to think that.
Yeah.
And I do find myself thinking that because I am somewhat familiar with, like, the process of making a movie and whatnot. But, like, what I want to do is for the movie to make me forget about that and just be like, whoa, cool, I'm in this space. I'm with these characters. I'm feeling what they're feeling. I'm thinking about the themes, you know.
Well, yeah, so you're like an escapist with cinema. Like, you want to be taken away from this world and enter that world.
I mean, yeah, to a certain extent, but like, it's not because I want to escape the world. I want to dip into this world for a bit. And
so
then,
it's push,
like,
versus pull.
See what it has to teach me and then come back.
Because I think there is, like, an argument for movies that you are hyper aware of existence. Something like Waking Life, where it's like you're not, like, there is a reality of this film, but it's meant to, like, expand that world into ours rather than to, like, remove you from your world.
Right.
And so I think, like, there's...
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that's what I want.
I haven't seen that, so I'm trying to understand your analogy. Is it similar to, like, Children of Men, where it's like, ah, oh, that sci-fi world is so realistic that, like, it shines a light and a mirror, holds a mirror up to our world?
No, so that movie is, like, not really a movie. It's, like, a series of discussions with weird animation about, like, philosophical concepts and, like, existentialism. And it's more...
Children of Men?
No.
Oh, what
no, Waking Life.
Oh, okay.
And so it's, like, it's more conversational about, yeah, concepts than, like, there's no plot, there's no this. It's just, like, a series of vignettes.
Mm.
And it's awesome. But it's I think that... My point was that I don't like to go into movies only expecting the journey. I like to be willing to be, like, pushed back against my existence.
Well, for me, those are kind of, like, it's the same thing. I feel like this is about framing, right? We're talking about this experience that everyone goes through. You go sit in a seat and you watch a screen and your things are happening or whatever, and you're, like, absorbing it or whatever. I'm just trying to say that I'm not seeking to, like, escape this reality to live in that one because that's where I want to be or whatever. I think that when I go and sit down and watch a movie, I'm expecting the movie to take me on a ride. The ride will be over in a couple hours and then I'm going to be back and that's fine. But while I'm here, I don't want to be thinking about, like, the director made that decision. Interesting, you know? And I think that there's space for that because obviously we have a movie podcast. I think that it's interesting to talk about that kind of stuff. But after it's over, you know, I want to be in the movie and being like, all right, I'm not thinking about all that technical stuff. And then afterwards, I'll be like, oh, that happened. Oh, that's an interesting choice by the director. Oh, he did this in this other movie. Oh,
I feel like that's where the strength of, yeah, the first watch is emotional, the second watch is technical, is that where a movie on the first watch should just be, like you said, a journey and it's emotional and you're having a great time. And then the second time you go and you understand objectively why the emotion worked, why everything clicked
right
together and did that. But I also think the other part of this question is, like, how do we rate different genres of movies?
So that's a totally fair question. I think Riley hit it when he said you have to consider what the movie's trying to be. Mm. Like, how can Schindler's List be a 9 while, like, The Hangover's a 9? If it is.
It's not a 9.
It's not. But, like, for example.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
You can't. There's just no way to...
Yeah.
And it's too subjective, you have to just meet it where it's at.
Yeah, I gave up on, like, trying to have an objective scale. I find when I watch a movie, I finish the movie and I have, like, a feeling... And that's my first, like, that's my starting point. And then I start to, like, compile I start to compile the objective points.
Right.
And then I usually meet somewhere in the middle for my score.
Do you consider the other movies you've covered? Like, because sometimes I'm like, oh, this is a solid 9. And I'm like, well, but that was only an 8.8. And I kind of like that more. Okay, I guess this has to be an 8.7. You have to kind of go with your own
rankings.
Well,
this is why it's not smart for us to, like, compile all our rankings long term because I'm just like, they're not going to make any sense.
No.
But, like, the rankings definitely are subjective. I think I do the same thing that you do where it's like I'm watching it, I'm feeling something, and then around, like, three quarters mark, I'm starting to, like, solidify where my rating is, and it's mostly based on feeling. And then if I'm like, oh, I felt kind of iffy about it, but they did have this thing that was really good, and they did have this thing that was really good.
Do you think about the number while watching?
Yes, for sure.
I usually actually don't, but I feel like I've a feeling.
It
like I'm like
in
I'm generally having a good time. I'm not like thinking 6, 7. Oh, that happened. 8. Oh, that happened. 6.
That
7.
Happens to me. I was watching Batman. I was like, this is a 9 territory for sure. And then it kind of went on, but maybe 8.9.
Because I don't do that because maybe the third act is going to be a complete mess.
Well, exactly.
Like,
then you calibrate as you go. Yeah. But.
Exactly.
I just want to bring it back real quick to like what that guy was. Erotut. This commenter, they had the question about how do we mentally approach a movie that we're going to review on the podcast versus just watching for fun. And I think we mostly answered that. I just wanted to call them out. Shout them out.
Well, it also a level of attention. Basically, when I watch a movie, I always am watching a movie. Like, the lights are off. Like, there's no phones allowed. Like,
right.
I'm watching the movie. But if I was going to do something where, you know, someone's in the kitchen cooking while I'm watching, this is a distraction. It's like when my kids are still awake.
Yeah.
That it would not be a podcast movie.
Yeah.
Right. I would not allow that for a podcast.
Exactly,
movie,
exactly.
But for something else, I might. So that's a difference.
Is this true for you, though, David?
What?
Because I do this as well. I'm just like, okay, I need the space to sit down and like the movie is happening and that's where I am. You know, not doing anything else.
With podcast movies, yes. Unless it's like one of those movies I've seen 20 times,
right.
Then I can allow myself to have the background and I'll have my notepad and I'll
kind of go
through it and take my notes.
Okay.
Which leads to.
How do you take
notes?
In a movie theater specifically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's from J.J. Asgard. So
this is actually more interesting than you might think because I thought it was a given that you use pen and paper.
Yes.
Because a phone, there's no way in hell I'm going to use my phone.
Because
I am so distracted by other people using their phones.
Mm.
Not just sound, but light. And not even if they're in front of me, even to the side or slightly behind, I can tell when there's a light has
100%.
Turned on in theater. And I hate it. I will destroy you. So I use a pen and paper, and there's been a few times now where I look at my notes the next day and the pen wasn't working half the time. So there's just like etches in the page and it's useless. And not only that,
you use a Grove Made pen, bro.
You're right. I did use that once. Sometimes your writing is just like, it really turns out that your penmanship will be better if you're looking. And also they'll intersect, like you'll write over each other. You have no idea where you are on the page.
So it's
really hard.
Let me give you the trick that I've started to go. I choose notepads that are really big. And then I put my thumb where I've last written.
Right.
And I finish and then I go down an inch and I hold it.
Okay.
And then I can touch and then I do that. And my writing is bad. I force myself to slow down because when I write really quick, it's messy. If I can see, it's not as bad. But I slow down with my thumb holding it. Then it's so much better.
My attack has been, I'll start off at the top left. And then when I'm not sure anymore, I'm going to go to the bottom left. And then I'll go like far right. I haven't touched the middle in a while.
Oh my gosh. What about the environment?
I just go all over the place.
A lot of wasted paper.
Not if I eat it and poop it out.
Good point. That makes me
happy.
That's
how we discard of all our notes.
See, when we saw the Uncharted screening all together, I was like, oh, James is going to be mad if I'm on my phone. So I did use a pen and paper, and I did your trick with the thumb and whatever. But most of the time, I'm on my phone. And here's the thing, James.
Yeah, well, I was surprised to learn this.
I didn't want you to yell at me. But when I have my phone out and I... Like in the theater, I turned the brightness all the way down and I can barely see it. So I'm like, I don't think this is like illuminating my face or anything.
Next time we go together, I want to do a test.
Yeah,
you let me
test.
Know, David. We saw Rise of Skywalker and you were behind me. I had my phone. I was riding on my phone. Did you see?
I don't remember. I was too. It's like a train.
If you don't remember. No, if you don't remember, you wouldn't know.
And here's
probably not.
And here's the other thing. And here's the other thing. In the theaters that I go to regularly, I'm looking around to see whether I can see anyone else's lap. I cannot. So
but
I
it's
hold
not
the
lap, it's the bounce. Yo, ray tracing is real,
yeah,
bro.
But like, I can barely see the screen because it's so dark. And I also go in the back. I try to like get seats in the back of the theater so I'm not like bothering anybody. I'm pretty sure if I'm sitting there and my phone's in my lap, I'm also like angling it towards my torso a little bit.
I might even try it, honestly.
Because it is easy to use the phone notes to assemble my final notes.
Obviously, when I watch at home, I just use my laptop.
Yeah.
At home, I actually use my phone and I dictate.
Oh.
Oh, I'm never
I dictate.
Oh,
but
you
pause? Yeah, you pause.
Yeah.
There's another question about who's your favorite person to watch movies with for the podcast, and it turns out no one, actually. Because
yeah.
If I watch with my friends, I won't pause, and I won't take notes.
Yeah.
And I'll, or, because I don't want to be sitting there typing, I'll miss stuff.
Yeah.
So I have to pause. So I found that I have worse notes if I watch with people, so.
Fair enough.
I, like, wait until something, like, boring is happening on screen. Like, it's just, like, an establishing shot of something, and then I'm just like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no, me, I pause and I sit there and I give stream of consciousness.
Nice.
It's amazing how they manage to... And then I come tomorrow and
for some reason, that's like such a funny image of like James sitting at home, like reclining on his couch and be like, and pause. You know, this director...
And I'm baked. And and it's funny because a lot of the time, the dictation is just brutal and I'm not like checking it. So I'll look at it the next day and it's like, what?
You're like slurring your words. This is pretty cool and the car did that.
Anyways.
What else?
What would your last meal be if you're on death row? This is a question that's like so stupid and so hard though. I'm like, it would matter, so I put thought into it, but also who cares? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Mashed potatoes, turkey, gravy, the Thanksgiving thing.
Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
Oh, I love it.
It would mine would be Caesar salad with like cooked prosciutto and lots of parm. Pepperoni pizza, but like the thin crust. And then cheesecake. Simple.
Oh,
simple
cheesecake spot. Would be there for me, I think. Yeah. It'd be present.
Did you just say a salad as your last meal?
Yeah, dude, I love Caesar salad. Fucking good. You obviously haven't had good Caesar salad.
No, I've had great salad. I love salad. I'm just like thinking about the emotional state that I'm in, going to die. I'm not like, man.
Crispy crouton.
I could go for a good salad. Right?
Oh, I love salad.
Yo,
I know, but is it like comforting? Like when I think of a last meal, I want to be like, all right, I finish it off. It's making me think of like the comforting thing of at home, like. For Thanksgiving and like Christmas dinner and stuff, I would just like stuff myself and then like be sleepy and like want to go lie down.
Yeah, but I've had so many Thanksgiving dinners that are such letdowns, and it's only like the ones that are familiar that are special. And so when you get it as a last meal, you don't get to make it.
Oh.
You get some random prison person to make you that Thanksgiving
dinner.
Okay,
you know what I might be doing here is showing my privilege of having parents who are like super, super into making like fancy ass Thanksgiving shit. Like it's not just Brussels sprouts. It's like cheesy, garlicky, oily Brussels sprouts.
Man, can I come?
It's baked. Like, yeah, my parents are like into food.
Yeah.
So it's like.
So the Aramark version.
Yeah. But so maybe I'll change it.
No, like the guy who. Aramark's the company that caters for many prisons. For so this, their version of
yeah,
your
yeah,
last.
Yeah, so like I think I might have to change it because that's not what I'm getting.
I already regret though, because I think the theoretical is more interesting if it's like made by a specific place or whatever. Like that's more interesting. So I think your family's Thanksgiving dinner.
If I could get my family's Thanksgiving dinner, that's.
But if it's
something
not,
that conjures a memory, I think is the right way to go.
Right.
I don't know if
that's
I have.
Kind of what I'm thinking.
Mom's spinach dip, buddy.
Ooh.
Buddy.
Spinach dip's cool. I'm thinking about like. Am I mad? Do I want to like the people taking care of my body? Like you're gonna poop yourself, right?
Do I want to have some like super spicy just, like, Indian food or something?
Yeah. Do I want to be like I'm going out with,
or just like Taco Bell?
Literally going out in flames. I want something rotten, please.
Oh yeah. No!
I love that that fermented shark they eat in Iceland,
or the Taco Bell that they've been preserving for like 10 years to see how much like food how
it degrades
is.
And preserves.
This is a question I wanted to talk about, sort of, like, maybe not for a long time, but it was about the, where'd it go? Oh, this is from Luke Arnold?
That's pronounced Arnold.
Arnold. There's a U in there. With a boundless supply of excellent movies in the past and coming out in the future, do you feel disappointed knowing you'll never see them all, or comforted knowing you'll never be without a next great movie to experience?
I think most of them are crappy. Not crappy, but, like, I think most of the content... Like, you might say, oh, that was worth watching, but not really. I think most of it is, like, B tier.
Yeah.
And I think I end up seeing most of the good stuff out there.
I find it frustrating, the ridiculous amount of content out there to watch. Like, I think I've talked about this, like, in private a bunch, but I've never gotten the chance to talk about it on the podcast. There's so much, there's too many shows.
With TV, shows, I'm speaking about cinema movies.
Hey, but there's also too many movies.
There's
like,
definitely too many shows.
Because we not only have, like, the box office now, but we also have the box office and then all the streaming exclusives. Like, all of these production studios and platforms are making extra movies to try and get you to, like, see, we're worth the... $12, $13, $14, the price is going up all the time, a month. And it's super frustrating to me because I agree with you, most of them suck.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I just want to find the good movies. How do I find just like the best movies to watch? Because I don't want to spend my time watching all of the stuff that's out there.
My approach is, have I heard about it? Have I heard about it? Like, is Tara Swisher going to bring it up? It's so good.
But this is what's annoying is that you hear about, like, I'm watching Wheel of Time right now. Okay.
Oh, that came out, huh?
How is it?
It's... okay.
Yeah, not worth your time.
Yeah, no, it's not. But like my friend is like a huge fan of the books. There's like 30 of them. And he was like, oh man, dude, you watching Wheel of Time? Like, it's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I've been meaning to kind of get into the books at some point. I want to talk to you about the show or whatever. So I'm like halfway through the season. And I'm just like, oh, this is like...
no.
Kind of boring.
No. You don't want to be one of those TV people.
Oh my God. Every TV show they watch, they're like, this is the best TV show I've ever
seen. If someone says the words worth watching, it's not.
But that's the thing, everyone has different tastes. Yeah.
For me to know a show truly is worth watching, you got to be obsessed.
I think there's some people that I trust more than others. There's like, if you told me that like a show was really good, I'd be like, nice. Whereas a random person, if they're like, the show's really good, I'd be like, oh, it's just fine.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So because there's some people I trust more.
It's frustrating.
Severance, bro. Severance is great.
I really want to watch that. That's on my list.
Is it out?
I like it.
I wanted to watch that too.
Only four
episodes,
right?
Where they split their brain or whatever.
Yeah. Apple TV. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we do a episode on that?
Maybe.
Eventually.
Maybe. I want to say. Okay. There is a ton of movies coming out, but there's not enough of certain genres. Man, there is not very many good fantasy movies.
Mm.
That's like a genre. It's like you can go through like all of the high fantasy movies and like a top 20 list. And it's like annoying. I'm like, yo, give me some good ones.
I think that like the industry is in like a bit of a place where we're like not into that right now.
Mm.
I think there's a bunch of fantasy shows.
Yeah.
But like Lord of the Rings, you know, after Lord of the Rings, we got like a ton of like
the
Lord of the Rings
second.
And Narnia and then Bridge to Terabithia.
No, but that's not fantasy.
No.
That's fantasy.
I just mean like that was an era where we got a lot of those. It's not high fantasy. You're right. Yeah. But like I think that was, it kind of like petered out into sort of this like young adult sort of thing.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't think anyone's willing to take a risk on doing a big
giant
high fantasy.
The reason for
movie.
It is probably the IP. Like, because with sci-fi, which I think is comparable, like you're talking big budget, lots of effects and stuff like that. You can think of a high concept for
for
sci-fi
where you're like
it's
time traveling dinosaurs and you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But with fantasy, it relies so much on the world and the lore that you kind of need to take a book property and adapt it for it to have the depth that's necessary. And there's just a finite number of
Trying to make an original high fantasy movie. No, absolutely not. Yeah,
that sounds hard.
There is some like unique ones. Like I still am shocked we haven't got a good Dark Tower franchise.
Oh my god, they keep screwing it up.
Yeah, and again, that's not like
Dark
really
Tower
high fantasy.
Read that? Dark Tower. There's 7 books.
Have you read
all of them?
Wow,
it may be my favorite book franchise.
I didn't know that about you. That changes my idea about you.
You're so much cooler now, Riley.
You are. I read Gunslinger.
You guys suck. You make so many assumptions about me, and then I say something. You're like, what? Really?
I'm kidding.
You're not a boring
Not
that I don't think you're boring. It's just this is a different shade.
Eddie has the best arc.
I need to reread it. Honestly,
so good.
It's been many years, but I'm so frustrated because like I was like in that book series, like I was just like demolishing them, like next book, and every time they try to do an adaptation, they just can't.
I think a TV series is probably the best way to do a big series like that. But hopefully, it can't be worse than the Idris Elba one. Man, that one sucked.
I know.
That one
I know.
Like, how did they get it so wrong?
Speaking of,
it's because they try to make it. They can't do Stephen King. They're like, we need to take a Stephen King thing and turn it into a generic blockbuster. Yeah. But Stephen King is like weird.
Lots of Stephen King books have turned into good movies.
Yeah,
Green
but only,
Mile,
but like mostly
Misery.
The horror ones, like The Shining. Like I think
Dream
The Shining is a good. Kubrick changed it, and we do The Shining.
No, we did the sequel.
Dr. Sleep.
Yeah,
Dr.
Kubrick kind of like took his own spin on it or whatever. But like, I think that it was as weird as the book, and it was as weird as Stephen King books get.
But I think it was also because it was different. It was able to be weird in its own way. Like,
Book
weirdness doesn't work as movie weirdness. You need a director who's bold enough to like try something.
Right.
But what about The Stand? Didn't that come out as a show this year?
Yeah, apparently it's not.
Did it suck?
I think it started off okay.
I would have heard about it if it was good.
The Stand is also one of my favorite books of all time. I love Stephen King's fantasy. I haven't really read his horror. But
what about Stand By Me?
Is that Stephen King?
Yep.
No, I haven't seen that.
That's a short story.
All right, guys. Don Haplin says, so, James was stabbed in Mexico. Any other near-fatal experiences from the rest of the group?
Do you have more near-fatal experiences?
I had a car experience this year that was like, that could have been crazy bad. Like, you almost murdered us. F you.
Mm.
Basically, this person came into my lane. I was in the HOV lane. They decided they wanted to be in the HOV lane. And I must have been in their blind spot and they didn't shoulder check. So they started coming right at me. So I started laying on the horn and slowing down. But here's the crazy part. They did not change their behavior once I was laying on the horn. They just kept coming in. It was insane. I was like pinned between them and the guardrail as I like slammed on the brakes to get out of the way.
Oh geez.
It was insane.
Ugh.
That's crazy.
And it was high speed too.
It was scary.
And I had my kid in the car and stuff. I
feel like every
what?
Time you drive, you're not near death situation.
That's true.
It's scary.
Me,
man.
Specifically, yeah.
Well, I was in the floods in Chilliwack when that happened. And like four houses over, there was a landslide, and the house got collapsed.
Really?
Yeah, and so that was scary.
Was anyone in there?
No, it was like a it was like the laneway house. And so the laneway house got totally destroyed, and the front house seemed to be fine. There was like three or four laneway houses that were just gone. But it was totally silent. Happened in the middle of the night. There was no power. Like we just woke up and like we went for a walk, and then it's just there was the mountain had just moved.
Oh God,
damn, dude.
Riley.
Oh yeah, that was like recent for
that
you.
That was pretty recent.
Yeah. No, I've never been in a dangerous situation. I'm a safe, good boy.
Raising a cul-de-sac.
No,
don't leave
I think,
the house.
Like, honestly, I saw this one and I was like, oh, I got to have something. And I'm like trying to think and I'm like, I mean, the only thing that comes to mind is when I was having really, really bad bowel cramps. and I was in the bathroom and I fainted.
Oh, wow.
Because things were so bad. Because apparently, this happens in
were
males.
Were you sitting down on the toilet?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's lucky because, you know, you didn't fall as far.
Yeah, Lauren found me. It wasn't...
shit great. On your nutsack.
Yeah, I don't think there was shit. No, there wasn't shit yet because I hadn't let it out.
That's the problem.
Apparently, this happens to males more often than females. There's like a vein near our spine.
In the duodenum.
Sure.
I just made that up.
And then, when you have a lot of pressure... And like you're like trying to hold it in, it can like trigger this nerve that makes you faint.
Yeah, you know, I was at a ski trip the other week with a friend, and he got up early, and I was like kind of half conscious, and I heard like a bang, and I thought, oh, one of the kids fell, but it turned out it was him.
Oh man!
And he said later that he just got out of bed and walked 10 feet, and I guess he like stood up too fast or something, and then he fainted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
so that's not related.
Well, that's a blood rushing out of your head type of situation, but this is like. The pain signals that you're feeling are so intense that it like overloads your circuitry
like
and you
deer,
just pass
like
out.
Like a goat.
And I think I think it happens more in males because females have to give birth and they're going through like crazy, crazy pain. And if they fainted during birth, it wouldn't be an evolutionary
adaptation. Put them on the front lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. Especially now. I mean, with the bullets, it's not like they need to like
intimidating pigtails. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly.
You've seen them.
For sure.
Yeah. They're scary.
For sure.
I thought I had something.
Does anyone have a sequel pick? Like, there's a standalone non-sequel movie that you think should have a sequel?
I had an answer for that.
The Matrix. Just joking.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep talking.
No, go ahead.
I don't know, but like, I put a question mark next to Inception because I think that it's not. I don't know if I would actually want an Inception sequel, but the movies that I end up wanting sequels for are movies that like set up really interesting lore and set up interesting like systems that you could like play with later. But then they never make a sequel, and I'm like, oh, but I want to know what happens. What if you do this?
I think my answer to this is specifically no, because when there's a great standalone movie, leave it alone. Because it will only be tarnished by a sequel. We know there's only like two good sequels in cinema history. So like, if you really like a standalone movie, just pray they don't make a sequel. Let it be. Read the book.
What are the two you think?
The good sequels? Aliens and Terminator 2.
Godfather 2. Toy Story.
Empire Strikes Back.
There we go.
Take it back.
All right, there's six.
Two Towers.
Two Towers is like the worst of the three.
But you need it. You need the whole trilogy.
It's a
you. I broadly agree with you, but it's like, I feel like it's more like a risk that, do you want to take the gamble? Like, do we want to, like, if you leave this really good standalone movie alone, it'll be good and everyone will remember it and it's a good movie. But maybe there's a chance. You could make a good sequel. Like, obviously the money is there or whatever, but I'm saying that, like, if you just care about the film, like, maybe there's a chance you can make a good sequel, but it's a big gamble because your odds are bad.
What if you could make the sequel a totally different genre? So you're just taking, like, the setup of another movie and it's, like,
kind of like Aliens. Yeah. Like they did with Alien and Aliens. So what would that apply to? Oh, my God.
Like, Green Mile becomes a zombie movie. You bring him back.
Who did this? I feel like people have done this in
life. Oh, okay. I don't know.
I can't think of anything though. There's definitely like franchises that have started as one thing and then like they become.
Well, Terminator
thing.
Is like pretty horror-y and then it became like family action.
Right.
Family action.
But that's an easy
about
transition.
A stepdad.
Yeah.
It's hard because you're right. Most well contained movies, I don't really want a sequel. Mm. But then sometimes they make the sequel and you're like, that was pretty good.
I kind of want Avatar to eventually have a sequel if it ever ships, just because it has potential to be better.
Yeah, because the first movie isn't that good. It was really the experience of it. But I hope it's going to blow me away.
Mm. I think it's just too long in development now. It's like the same with in video games, right? They've been developing it too long. You're like, oh, no.
Sometimes they can recover, but usually it's because like they cut it at one point and restarted. So it's like.
But that actually brings us to a video game question.
Sure.
Why are the movies always bad?
I feel like it's mostly because it's not the people that are passionate about the stories that make them. It's studios being like, that's a big property. Yeah. Let's make this into a big property.
A related question. Oh. Sorry.
I was just going to say, because you're not going to get the like original video game creators to make the movie. You're going to have.
Although they did that with Uncharted.
Did they?
Yeah, Naughty Dog was involved.
See, but that was interesting. And we talked about this in the Uncharted episode. But I think one of the big reasons why that movie sucked is because the game, how did you put it? It was a game based on a movie. Yeah. So if you're making a movie based on a game based on movies, it's kind of lame. Because it's like the thing that makes the game unique is the fact that you're playing it, not the actual like characters of the adventure or anything.
I think it's getting better. Like the Last of Us TV show, I think will be good because the director of the games is like the executive producer on the show. So it's like
Neil
very
Druckmann
integrated. Whereas I don't know how involved. Yeah, Neil Druckmann.
Yeah, and the screenwriter is a fan of the games.
Yeah,
big fan of the games.
Yeah, so. And so I think that's got more potential. And we've had a couple okay ones. Like Sonic was pretty good. Detective Pikachu was pretty decent.
I think we've seen that the video game movies that succeed are ones that really capture the spirit of the original.
Yeah, not necessarily the story.
Yeah.
The spirit.
Yeah, it's like in video games I think people don't care as much about like seeing like, oh my gosh, it's that character. If the character isn't true to like the spirit of what made them interesting in the game. So it's like, oh, we can bring in Sonic, but he's like acting completely different, you know?
He looks totally wrong.
Yeah, it's kind of like a book adaptation thing, but would you say it's harder? There's an adaptation thing happening where you're switching mediums and you can't expect them to be equal or the same.
Yeah, I think that maybe we pay more attention to video game movies sucking in adaptations when it's like, it happens possibly more often to books.
Maybe, but the thing with books, though, is they're so, like, it looks different in your head compared to your head, but with games, there's a visual aspect, so it's supposed to look like that. If they don't deliver on that, then
that's true.
That box is unchecked.
When I think also, like, some video games have an incredible depth of story and details to flesh out a movie, but a lot of them, most of the time, is a mechanical interaction. And most of the time, it's like, you're doing it for fun, and so that doesn't translate to movies as well. Like, you can get a cool action sequence here or there, whereas a book, it's 100% story and world-building and lore and detail, and so there's so much to draw on.
Then there's the question of, should the gameplay mechanics of the movie be portrayed, or of the game be portrayed by the movie? So, for example, there's a Doom movie and there's a first person shooting sequence. Yeah. And it's like, that was fun.
I think it almost always ends up feeling wonky and weird. Like, why'd you do that?
Gimmicky.
Yeah, gimmicky. I want to like transition this into this other question from Carl Wilson Wolf that says, what's your favorite storytelling video game?
Three names, hey, buddy.
Because.
Who do you think you are?
Because. Pursuant to what you were just talking. Did I use that right?
I love the use of that word.
Okay, great.
Good job.
The Portal series. It's one of my favorite storytelling series, even though, like, narratively, it's not like, I'm not, like, crying at the end of it or anything, but, like, Half-Life does this as well to a lesser extent, in my opinion, but, like, the Portal series really makes you feel like you are part of the story and you feel like I'm in this facility and I need to escape and blah, blah, blah. But the thing about the thing about that makes Portal cool is not like Chell as a character or something, or like it's the, like, so much of it is the experience of mechanically figuring out these puzzles and having this overbearing character, like, you know, criticizing you and trying to stop you. And like, I think that it makes for a really good storytelling experience only in game form. If they made a Portal movie, it just would not work.
I think the thing there is character. When you read a book, it's about a character. And you know that character. And you love that character. When you play a video game, often you are occupying a blank slate. The character is a vehicle for you. But when you go to a movie, they need to cast that character. It has to be an actual character.
Right.
And that's just going to change everything.
Yeah, it's like Legend of Zelda would never make a good movie because who is Link? You.
Right.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat movie where they made that new character and it's like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
I think that there are movies though that don't make you like a blank slate. Like there are really good games.
Oh, for sure.
Did I say movies? Maybe. There are really good games that have the characters be something very, very specific. I think The Last of Us is one of these where
Sam Fisher,
you can believe that you're the good guy playing as Joel, but by the end of the movie,
spoilers.
By the end of the game, you're questioning this. That's like a very vague.
Yeah, it's vague.
And I'm playing through God of War right now, and like...
Spoilers?
Well, I don't think this is... But this is very obvious. Like, it's about a father and son going on this journey together, and like... It's very explicit. The game makes it very explicit what the characters of the father and the son are, but you have some influence on that throughout playing the game, but it's still very clear. So it's like, they could make a decent adaptation of The Last of Us, and they are. Hopefully it's good. They could make a decent adaptation of God of War. Senua's Sacrifice is another game I played through recently. Well, somewhat in the past few years that was like really, really good in terms of story. You can do it, but like you got to pick the right games.
For sure. Well, it's hard too because like you think of God of War, and I think, yes, you could take that story and make a really good series out of it, but it's there's so many elements that work together to make it so good. And I think one of those elements is like how you start off not that powerful, and by the end, you're like a fucking beast with all these magic, like right. magical abilities. And like the feeling of empowerment by the end of that game is insane. And like, how do you translate that into a movie? Like, sure, like the set pieces can be bigger than that, but this participant feeling of you being powerful is always taken away. Right. So it's hard. It's just all the little details. You have to, you're just extracting one part of a video game and then trying to blow that out into a different medium. And it's, I don't know if we need that.
Yeah.
I also just don't think we need video game movies. Video games tell their own stories well enough.
I think most of the time we do not. Yeah. There might be some exceptions, but yeah.
Yep.
I think Sonic 2, baby! I always thought Halo. I always thought Halo could have been a sweet movie.
That's a TV show coming out soon.
I do not think it's gonna be good.
Apparently, it's reviewing fine.
Yeah.
The one thing
for
I was
episode
like,
one.
Yeah. The ultimate bullshit is there's a Chevy Tahoe in the background of one of the shots, and yeah. the director, someone was like, "Don't worry, every detail is thought out." And I'm like, "No, you just have some like." Correct, like retcon lore thing yeah, for why like, it's gonna be fixed.
It's there for a reason.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I hope it's not one of those shows like, you know, when there's like a show like Gotham or something where you're like, yeah, it's in this universe, but the character you like the most isn't in it. Like, if this is just a bunch of soldiers,
it has Master Chief
and no chiefs, Spartans.
It has Master Chief.
There should
in
be
it.
Spartans everywhere.
But it's,
every episode,
there are more Spartans.
They said that they're showing Master Chief's face, which is wrong.
Well, I don't love his voice.
I didn't see.
I feel like they shouldn't have shown his face, and they should have got the game guy, because he's just like, he is Master Chief to me. I feel like it's going to be hard to,
yeah,
like,
they should have Darth Mauled that.
His voice is just so, like, he's just, but, like, I think that's also the question of whether you can make, like, this, like, faceless protagonist, because he's like a Link almost. Like,
yeah, he
says
almost,
things,
but barely.
He has a character, yeah. but barely. Yeah. And so it's like, it works really well to just have him be this, like, I am just the image of masculinity, and that's all I am.
And if they're going to like shoehorn in some game lines like double kill, I want to hear it actually from his voice. Yeah. They could maybe get away with it.
Can you imagine there's a scene like Master
yes.
Chief is like killing a bunch of aliens, and then
boom,
like
boom, boom, boom.
The guy in the control room is like, whoa, kill-tacular. Yeah.
Like the dust settles, and he goes like, double kill. You
that'd
want
be,
that.
Yeah, that'd be sick. That'd be hilarious. That's not the tone of the show, though.
I hope that's in there.
You know, Cortana in the Halo 2 trailer when she was like, bet you can't stick it. He's like, you're on.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You want that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Huh. Double kill. I'm a fucking badass.
Yep. We had the good TV shows like Castlevania, Arcane, Dragon's Blood. They're figuring out animated shows. And I feel like anime and animated shows are much closer in terms of like sensibilities and storytelling. Video games than live action. It's just a different.
Oh, I was talking to my friend about this too. It's like, why is it that all the animated stuff, like DC stuff, is awesome? The animated Marvel stuff is all awesome, but so many times the movies are like, wah. And like, what's the deal with that? My theory is the live action ones have bigger budgets and too many adults in the room. Too many, like, yeah. Hey, I'm producer such and such.
Yeah, what if Superman killed someone?
I would love to jizz in this suit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they need to. There's just too many people involved now.
It sucks, though, because, like, then you do the movies where you let the auteur have their way, and then they do poorly. Like, fucking The Suicide Squad. Say, you can like it or you can hate it, but it sucks that one did poorly, because now they're going to be so reluctant to just give over control to...
I just feel like, yeah, I feel like they often just give over control to the wrong people. Like, thinking they're in a... Like, I think that the mistake a lot of them make is thinking that they're dealing with an auteur, but really just dealing with a good director that had a good movie one time. And they're like, oh... he just needs no controls on him. But no, they're all George Lucas's. No, Denis is the only one.
Denis's the one true director.
I don't know. The James Gunn thing, it's like, the reason I had no appeal to see The Suicide Squad is because the other Suicide Squads and Birds of Prey were bad before. So I was just like, not wasting my time on that franchise.
But he did
anymore.
Guardians of the Galaxy, which was really good. And the second one was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Did they? No, they're doing the
third
one.
They're doing the third one. And it's him as well. But yeah, I guess they're. The Matt Reeves Batman seems like they're still doing auteur stuff, and Todd Miller Joker. I hope that we see the trend of shared universe shit go away. I'm like, I want them just good movies to happen, not the burden of an entire franchise on each movie. It's like, it must be exhausting to make movies like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, like, Marvel is, they, it's an amazing achievement, as we've said many times before, but, like, they're not really, like, movies and shows in the same way that other things are. Like, yeah. I think that it's just, like, the latest Marvel thing. It's, like, episode 250 of the Marvel saga. It's not like, ooh, a new series called Moon Knight with Oscar Isaac. I wonder what that's about. I wonder whether it's good or not. Like, blah, blah, blah. It's, no, it's,
the latest
it's episode 251 of Marvel thing.
But I do think that Marvel has become...
Which is cool. Like, I kind of like that.
I think it's too bloated. It's like, I hit the point with Marvel where I'm not going to watch everything. And I've decided ahead of time where I'm like Hawkeye, like, I just decided, I'm like, I'm not going to watch this.
But
and
I guess
that's the first time, because the whole MCU phase 1 through 4, I was like, everything, I'm fucking there.
Right,
man.
Right. Yeah, no, it's
is
not that.
Is that just shows, or are you going to... Is that apply to movies?
I probably wouldn't have watched Black Widow if we didn't do it on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think I would have skipped it.
But that's phase four, right?
Was that a pandemic?
Or thing? That was phase five or whatever it
that's
is.
That's four.
Is that because it was you weren't going to the theaters?
Like, it was,
the release would have been different.
Plus, complicated right? question. Didn't have to pay for it?
I don't know. I think that this was always going to happen. Where, like, you know, I think the hype was there in phase 1 through 3 where we're like, we got to see everything. We got to know the story and blah, blah, blah. But then after Endgame, it was kind of like, okay. We got that. That's like the baseline. That's like the base of this new franchise universe that we have. And now they're going to keep making stuff, and maybe I won't watch everything, blah, blah, blah. I think that was always kind of the expectation on my part anyways, that, like, okay, they're making this show and this movie, and blah, 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 and I'm like, I'm probably not going to watch everything. Right. But, like, it's just like, you know, it's like comics. It's like, you don't read every Marvel comic,
fair.
But you have your favorite franchises that you follow, and maybe you'll, like, pick up the Spider-Man, but not the Avengers and whatever, you know?
Fair enough.
It's all fair enough.
Are you guys going to watch Moon Knight?
I don't know what that is.
I'm definitely going to watch Moon Knight.
It's like supernatural Batman in Marvel universe.
It's like multiple personality Batman. Yeah.
What the hell? Okay, yeah, I'll check that
out. It's cool.
But also, we got to end this episode, guys.
We do.
We've done enough questions.
Have we?
We definitely, like, there's definitely a lot more that I would have liked to answer.
But that's for Mailbag 3.
That's for Mailbag 3. Hopefully we won't make it as long until the next one. When has it been, like, 2 years or something?
I don't know.
Okay, one last
depends
question.
Depends if people like it.
One last question.
This is a Mary Fuck Hill.
Okay. I'm in for these.
The Batmans.
Oh, yeah.
Christian Bale. Robert
we already
Pattinson.
Did a Mary Fuck Hill
No,
question.
This is the more important one.
Okay.
And Ben Affleck.
I don't want to... Wait, who are they? The Ben Affleck? Is it the Batman or the actor?
What do we...
Wait, kiss...
I think...
Wait, let's... Kill, Dave.
Well, the person said kiss, marry, avoid, and no one
else. Oh, okay. Instead of kill.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck, marry,
well, this
kill.
Is all hypothetical and not real. And so.
I think it's that Bruce Wayne.
It's this Bruce Wayne.
That Bruce
so they're
Wayne.
All Bruce Wayne. They're all billionaire Bruce Waynes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the options are Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Ben Affleck. Affleck.
I think.
Or what's the third one?
Pattinson.
Oh, pop.
I think Mary is like.
Wait,
is,
kiss instead of fuck?
No, fuck, marry, kill. That's just what they put.
Okay, but they wrote kiss, marry, avoid.
We're not doing that. I'm sorry, Oscar.
Okay, we're doing fuck Mary Kill.
Yo, I
marry Ben Affleck. He's the only one that's like moderately stable.
What?
No, dude.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm marrying the Christian Bale one because by the end of the Dark Knight trilogy, he pieces out of there. He goes to Italy or whatever. He's done.
Yeah.
He's just.
I feel like those
cryptocurrency and no responsibilities.
Yeah, by the end, I guess. But I don't know that those years of him being Batman. I feel like he's too crazy.
I'm gonna F. The Robert Pattinson one.
This
for
is
sure.
At the end. This is we have to answer this question at the end of the of their arcs as we've seen them in the movies.
Yeah, we've only seen one Pattinson one, and he's mopey AF. I don't want
to
date
guy. I think you have to be mid arc because we don't have the end of Pattinson's arc. I think you have to be like mid.
What are you talking about? We don't know what his arc's going to be.
That's what I'm saying. We can't
at the current moment using the information we have.
Yeah.
Who are we fucking marrying, killing?
I'm fucking Pattinson. I'm marrying Bale, and what's the other one? I guess I'm killing Ben Affleck.
That's literally my exact same answer for me.
No,
nice.
No way. Fuck Pattinson, kill Bale, marry Affleck. I feel like...
Kill Bale.
Marry Affleck, but he's like
marry
sad
Ben
and
Affleck?
Weird.
But he's the... I think he's the most stable one.
That Batman kills people.
Good.
He's not even the real
it.
Batman.
He'll kill for me.
Deserve it. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. You can tweet at us at TJMPod. You can email us for the next episode. I guess you missed this one, but that's hello at therejustmovies.com. And you can tweet us. I already said that. What's the third thing you can do to us? Is there another thing?
Fuck, marry...
Oh, yeah. See you later.